Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. I'm Dave Barber, lead pastor at River Valley Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Each week, we spend time looking into God's Word with the purpose of allowing Christ to transform us by the renewal of our minds. We hope that you make hearing and studying God's Word a consistent part of every week.
We are in the book of Proverbs, so if you want to turn to page 776, that's what there is in mine, but probably not yours. Proverbs chapter 2, 1 through 6. I'm going to read that if you want to just follow along. My son, if you receive my words, treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver, search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. I'm asking that, God, that your Holy Spirit would just powerfully touch our hearts. Speak to us, Lord, and the areas that, God, that you are working on us in. And so we pray for that, and we ask, God, that your hand would be upon this time. In Jesus' name, amen. There's two words in here, in this passage, if and then. It is a conditional promise that he is giving us at this time. You see, Solomon is writing as if he's writing to his son, and he's giving him a conditional promise. We do that as parents all the time, right? If you eat your green beans, then you can have the can of Mountain Dew, right? Or something like that. We have those types of things, right? That is what we have. We do consistently have conditional promises. And this is a conditional promise. Matter of fact, the Ten Commandments, there's one commandment specifically. Paul brings it up in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. It says that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. It's a conditional promise. If you're a young person, I want you to look right here. This is a conditional promise that if you are obeying your parents, honoring your parents, it says specifically that it will go well with you. If you lie to them, it won't go well with you. It won't go well with your relationships with them. And it says that you'll live long on the land. Meaning, if you looked at people who have struggled and rebelled against their parents, and they were to tell you today, they look back and it's like, that's where it began. The hurt and the woundedness that I feel today because of disobeying and not honoring. So this is an example of a conditional promise. So if we were to start in verse 1, the first part of this conditional promise, he says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you. So the first part is this. He's saying to his son, if you have a teachable spirit. Now, as I was going through this, I mean, it's nearly impossible for you to study the word and to be able to speak up here without God just like nailing you all the time, right? And I'm like, Lord, I'm just going to ask you this, like, what do I have a teachable spirit? What is it in my life that is hindering me from hearing from you. You see, this passage, this verse 1, is more about what it says, if you what? Will receive. There's a difference between hearing from the Lord and actually willing to receive from the Lord. That's a teachable spirit. God describes the people of Israel. He says to them that they were a what? A stiff neck and stubborn people. That's who they were. That's how he describes them. They were unwilling to receive from the Lord. Now, there is a time in my life, there's a story. I was 8 years old. 8 to 9, I actually have no clue, to be honest with you. It was very vague as far as the exact timing. But my parents were gone, and I was there with my older brother and a friend of mine. And so we lived on 80 acres of land. And my growing up was like in the sticks, all right? I was like a hillbilly from day one, all right? And I was living in Indiana. We lived on a farm, 80 acres. And we decided that me and this friend were going to go out and we're going to build, what else do? You build a fort, right? And so we're going to go out in the back 40 and we're walking through looking for a site. And we're looking there in this little field was perfect. My dad had drug out this old two-seater outhouse. And I'm like, now here's the question. Why a two-seater? Have you ever thought about that? Like, who sits next to something? Never mind. All right, so there's a two-seater, and it's out there, and we're both like, that's the spot. And I don't know about this, but every fort has to have the ability to have a fire in it. That was our thinking, right? And so we're like, how do we build a fire in here without torching this place, right? And so, like every farm, there were piles of stuff, and there's like this pile in the back 40 of old shingles. And so I go up, and I'm like, this is perfect. Let's just line this thing with shingles. And my friend goes, I think I've seen my dad burn those before. I'm like, how would a shingle burn? It's got stones all over it. I didn't listen. So we lined the inside of this place with shingles, thinking that I would stop it from a fire. And then we lit it. It took off. And all of a sudden, I'm like, run, right? And we got this, and we ran and got my brother, which was a long ways. I'll just tell you, we were in the back 40. We come back, and we spent the entire day, like we say, we were in the woods. And we spent the entire day beating out fire, taking our shirts off with wet, and we were just digging holes around trying to keep it from spreading and burning the house down. Like, you know, got the end of the day, and we're just walking up, and literally my parents just got home, and I am black from head to toe, and I can remember my dad looking at my mom, and it's like, you don't need to say a word. But isn't that kind of like our life? We think we know what's best. And then we spend so much time putting out fire after fire because of the things that we've done. Most of the time because we're unwilling to receive and we're unwilling to be teachable. We're stubborn. You know, one thing I've noticed? Stubbornness is not a good trait. It's really bad for marriage. I don't know if you noticed that or not. It hurts relationships because you're unwilling to hear what other people are saying. God desires teachableness. The reality is what causes us not to be able to hear and receive is one word, pride. It's simple, but we are filled with it. James chapter 4, verse 6 says this, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humility is the willingness to hear. The humility is a willingness to say that some other people might have actually good things to say, that God actually is authority over me, and I come underneath it. But can you imagine the idea of like pride? He says, God opposes the proud. Can you imagine in your mind how bad of an idea it is to be opposed by God? Like God is opposing me because of my pride. So first thing he's saying to his son, have a teachable spirit. Be willing to hear from me and receive it into your being and be willing to change. Secondly is this, let's look at verse 2 and 3. It says, making your ears attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. Secondly, if you have a yearning to hear from God. I am assuming that when you walk in the door to this place that you're here on a Sunday morning is that you have a desire to hear from the Lord. You're not just here to fulfill an obligation. Maybe some of you are. Ben, it started for you like that, right? To fulfill an obligation. But the reality is, until you're ready to get to this point where you're actually like, I want to hear from the Lord. Dave and I pray every Sunday morning, and one of our prayers, every prayer, every time, is this, is that we're asking that God, that you would sense his presence so powerfully here that you would be willing to hear, that you would hear the message of the truth, and that God would touch you. And God said, he's saying, if you are willing to hear, you will have ears that are attentive, that you want to hear from God. Verse Psalm 27:4, David says it like this, one thing I have asked the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He's like, one thing that I seek after is to be gazing upon you, beauty of you in your temple. The question might be in your mind, like, well, where's the temple? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, it says this, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in you? If you have given your life to Jesus, if you placed your faith in what Jesus did on the cross, he sends his Holy Spirit into your life, and now you become a temple, a dwelling place of God. And that means that at any moment, at any time, you decide that I just want to hear from God, I want to gaze upon his beauty, I want to hear from him, you can, because you are his temple. You don't have to be in church. This is 1 hour. God desires you to be present with him all the time. You have a yearning to hear from him. Let me ask you that question. I want you to think about it.
do you truly desire to hear from him? Or has your pride stopped you from even the desire to hear from him? Third, it says this, yes, or verse 4 says, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. My son, if you are motivated above all else to hear and obey his voice, this has everything to do with a level of intensity that you're willing to give it, that you're willing to seek, that you're willing to hear from God. This is a level of intensity. He's like, I want you to seek it like you seek silver. I want you to stop. You know, I feel like that is so easy to do, right? It's like, it's all about building up wealth. It's all about us surviving in this world. And he's like saying, I want you to understand, my son, that if you seek this like that, if you seek to be in his presence, if you seek to hear his voice, if you seek to receive from his word like that, to that level of intensity, that's what I'm calling you to. That changes things, doesn't it? When we are called to that level of intensity, it changes how we live. It changes how we organize our life. I'm just going to be honest. It's really easy to get straight up so much in our lives, so full, that there is absolutely no space for him to do anything. There's so much stuff that's going on in our life that we have to be willing to organize our life in such a way that we're like, I am prioritizing time with him. I'm going to decide how many that we're not, maybe not going to do every sport with our kids. We're going to decide how we're going to spend our time and prioritize spending time with the Lord. Can you imagine when your children see that you're prioritizing him, prioritizing hearing from him, receiving from him over everything else? What kind of mesh does that sense to them? Can you imagine what kind of message it sends to them? The opposite. When we allow everything else and we put God on the back seat. He's saying to his son in here, seek it like silver. Prioritize it. He's like, if you do this, if you have a teachable spirit, if you want to hear from me, if you're really willing to go after it and seek it with all of your heart, he says this in verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This is where the conditional promise comes into play. He's like, you'll understand the fear of the Lord, this reverent awe of who God is. For the first time in your life, you're going to start to understand in humility who God is. You're going to understand his holiness. You're going to understand his righteousness. You're going to understand that you're in desperate need of him. And as that conditional prompt, he's like, I'm gonna release this understanding and knowledge of God. I'm gonna allow you to understand it. You're gonna get it. But first, you have to seek it. I'm gonna say this, it's probably the words that God put on my heart the most. It's like there is direct correlation. Direct correlation by the intensity level of your willingness to seek God, to hear his voice, to desire understanding. There is direct correlation to the intensity level that you are willing to give to the revelation and understanding that you will receive. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is a direct correlation. If you do this, then you will do that. And it is found throughout Scripture. Lisa spoke it this morning. Come close to me, and I will come close to you. That's a reality. This is a conditional promise that's laid out throughout all of Scripture. Solomon understood it. Solomon understood it because in 2 Chronicles 7, 11 through 16, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to that. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 11 through 16. Obviously, Solomon wrote this Proverbs, but here is a part in which Solomon has been tasked by the Lord to build the temple. He's been tasked by the Lord to build the temple, and he has spent the last 8 days dedicating the temple. I mean, offerings and sacrifices, there's like 22,000 bulls that are like sacrificed. I can't even comprehend the blood, to be honest with you. Like the amount of stuff that was going on in this dedication of this temple was, but there was just earnest seeking after the Lord. And finally, they get to this point where they dedicate the temple. And I don't know if you remember this point, but Solomon is there. They're dedicating the temple. He's praying. Everyone is standing up, waiting. And he's like, we invite you into this temple. And pow, he fills the temple with power. And the people bow. They can't do anything but kneel, because of how powerful his presence, his manifest presence in that temple was. And after all of that is done, God comes to Solomon in the night and he says these words to him. If thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that Solomon, this is verse 11, all that Solomon had planned to do in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he successfully accomplished. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attended to the prayer that is made in this place. For now, I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. I'm gonna ask the worship team to come on up. This passage is the conditional promise, I think, that we see in Proverbs chapter 2. This is what revival looks like. And here's what I mean. Revival, we tend to think, wow, about revival, people getting saved, it's going to be awesome, it's great. Really, revival is not about people getting saved. It happens as a result of revival, but here's what revival truly is. Revival truly is when God's people decide that they are going to desire to be in the presence of God. They are going to seek Him with all of their heart. They're going to be willing to receive from Him and obey whatever He calls them, and they seek it with the intensity and level that they've never had before. And when that begins to happen in a body of believers, that they truly seek Him, we have a promise that God is going to pour out on them. But it has to come from this point in our hearts where we're willing to change, where we're willing to hear, where we're willing to receive. That's what revival looks like. Question in my mind, for my heart, and for yours is this. Is, are we that church? Are we a people who are willing to hear? Are we a people that are willing to seek with everything that we have? We're willing to recognize I don't have the right answers. Will we be that church? Will we hunger and thirst for Him? Will we set aside our busy lives and make time for Him and seek His face and hunger for Him like we've never hungered before? That's our prayer. That's our prayer for this place. We're going to sing a song. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do in this time. Would you just bow your heads with me? Would you just ask the Lord, Lord, where's the areas of my life where I'm not listening? I'm not receiving from You, or I'm not teachable. Confess that to Him right now, Lord. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been stubborn. I've been prideful. Ask Him, Lord, where is there areas in my life where I have crowded You out? I have not prioritized time with You. Confess that to Him. People. I'm asking in the name of Jesus, that God, that we would be a people who cry out to You, who seek You above all else. you hold forth your promises, which you always do, and which you pour out on this place. Not this place, but its people, your people, would you just pour out on your people. We're asking that, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. We believe that everyone needs to be connected to a local body of believers. If you are already a part of another church, that's great. If not, we'd love to see you on Sunday morning. You can connect with River Valley on Facebook or rvcoshkosh.com.